premier Tennessee post-game call-in show. This is Voluntary Reaction on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Is this the Night Court theme?
How have you not heard this before?
I don't know.
Me not hearing it before makes sense. You not knowing what this is?
This is not the one we use on football. Anyway.
No, it's basketball.
Just threw me for a loop. All right, welcome in. Voluntary Reaction. Sorry we're a minute or two late. But Houston, like, I still need a minute.
I broke a chair.
You broke the chair, yeah. You broke the bare Cody McClure chair, which is...
I mean, in fairness, it's also my chair, but I was the one to...
Par for the course today. I mean, there's like a lot of unforeseen things happening today, so we'll just chalk that up in the latest.
To say the least.
Oh, my goodness. Did that really just happen? Wow. I mean, it's been a while since we've had to sweat one out like that, and I'm nervous, man. I'm a little rattled, Houston.
I'm still shook. I'm still rattled. Anxious. The heart rate is still very high.
Can we hold each other? That would be weird, right? All right? I'll just stay over here.
I'll do it if you're comfortable with it.
Voluntary reaction underway. Houston, we got to stop meeting like this, my man.
But this is the best meeting we've had.
Yeah, at least
post game.
At least this is a happy one. 71-68. The Vols pull it out. It was not Rick Barnes' boys' finest moment as far as sharpness is concerned, particularly in the second half. Alabama outscores the Vols 36-27 in the second half.
27.5. What?
I mean, we knew there was going to be games like this, Houston, and we just had to grind it out, and that's what we did. And I think it's kind of epitomized by Admiral Schofield tonight, who absolutely could not throw it in the ocean. 4 of 17 from the field today, Admiral, but he gets a couple of, you know, just key buckets down the stretch in the paint, just hard fought buckets. He has 11 rebounds tonight. He finishes with 12 points. Grant Williams, 21 points for the Volunteers. Just a gritty effort, and I'm sure Rick Barnes and the players are not pleased with it, but at the end of the day, you get out with a W, and you could be Michigan. They did not get out with a W today.
Great point by you. We could be Michigan. I guess to be fair, this was a team in Alabama that beat you by 28 last year. Granted, they no longer have Colin Sexton, but the Petty Kid.
That's the second year in a row he's torched us.
Boy, the Petty Kid had a good second half, didn't he? He had an elite first 5.5 minutes of the second half. Like, to the point where I'm like, is that Colin Sexton with a dread wig? Is that what I'm seeing? It was
all about the three-pointers, too.
I can't hear you. Can you hear him?
No. Is your mic on?
Yeah.
Really? Are you sure? Is it plugged in?
We got the gremlins. We got the gremlins in the studio.
We'll work on that.
Yeah. All right.
I couldn't hear Rick. Could you hear Rick?
Are you program there, buddy? Okay. We'll try and figure out what's going on there. Rick Butler will greet you as you call in today, 865-546-8200. Yeah, John Petty, 30 points to pace the Tide, 6 of 10 from three-point range.
Wait, he ended with 30?
He ended with 30.
He didn't score in, like, what, the last 10 minutes of the game or so?
Yeah. I mean,
thank God.
Bowden locked him down.
Oh, Jordan Bowden, thank you. Thank you for saving everything.
Just got up in his shirt and would not leave John Petty alone. And not without controversy, the last minute, a couple of calls. I thought the charge against Grant was a good call.
I don't know that the contact itself warranted a charge, but he sold it.
Yeah.
Position on the floor, sold it. I didn't have a problem with it. I don't know how any ref would see that and call something else.
I thought the travel on Petty was a worse call.
He did hook.
I mean, in fairness, it was just the wrong call.
It was one
call
or the other. He either hooked or he traveled. They called the travel. they forgave the hook. But it should have been Tennessee's ball right there. So they got at least that part right.
Two clutch free throws from Lamonte Turner overdrive.
Welcome back.
And probably Alabama fans, I'm sure, wishing they got a better look there towards, I mean, 2.5 seconds. That you should be able to get a shot on front court, I would imagine, in that situation.
Agreed.
But we'll take it. Watching Kentucky and Auburn, Wildcats with an early one-point lead down there. Looks like a pretty hyped environment down there in Auburn, so we'll keep an eye on that. And, of course, later tonight, Houston, we'll be watching Duke and Virginia. If Virginia loses at Duke.
It's weird tonight to have to root for Duke, but you're right. If Duke gets the W, it's hard not to see any scenario in which Tennessee is not ranked number one on Monday when the polls release.
Yep. And how ironic, 10 years, a decade later, number one headed to Vanderbilt for a Tuesday night game. I mean, it's
I hadn't given that thought, but thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that nightmare back into my brain.
Well, it Shane Foster is not at Vanderbilt. He's not walking through
that
door.
That's a good point.
Kevin Stallings is not walking through that door.
I hate that building. I hate the orientation. I hate
the
way
court is so weird.
Yeah, I hate the way
it's just hard to watch.
The way the goals are set up. I hate the way the benches are set up. I hate everything about it.
I'm already frustrated and pissed off about the game. It hasn't even
Same.
Started yet.
Same. There's no way to shake it.
But we'll see what happens tonight in Durham with Duke and Virginia. But Tennessee grinds one out, and wow, just a lot going on in football with the women's program. Houston, I'll be interested to get your thoughts on that. But let's get some phone calls going, get right to the people here. 865-546-8200. Jordan, you're up first today. Voluntary reaction.
I think Jordan dropped.
Oh, Jordan dropped.
Call back.
Probably went through a dead zone. Or he just got
tired
bored
of us rambling. All right. Yeah. Well, okay, so open lines.
Yeah.
And Rick's mic is working.
Yeah, so I got it working.
There it is.
We lost Jordan.
Hey, there you go.
Rick. We've got that going for us, which is good. I mean, it's just a situation, Houston, where, again, I hate to sound like a broken record already, but you knew we were going to have one of these games, and it probably won't be our last one. I still think we probably stub our toe at some point and lose a game. I'm just glad it wasn't today. For a variety of reasons, right?
So much going on in Thompson Bowling Arena that you didn't want to drop this one. If you don't play perfectly, sure, but you don't want to drop it.
The T. Martin stuff, the Tony White pep talk, just the loss earlier, the chance to be number one, hanging. There's just so many other factors that you didn't want to see go to waste. So really glad we could get this W. All right, let's try it again. We got Jordan back with us here. First up on Voluntary Reaction. What up, Jordan?
Russell, how's it going? How you guys doing?
Relieved.
The heart rate is diminishing, which is good.
What's that?
The heart rate was high, but it's getting back down to somewhat normal after that last 3 minutes of the game.
Everything's fine. Somebody finally decided to face guard number 23. It only took, 37 minutes, but whatever. Russell, I met you the other day sucking down those phosphates over at corner 16. It was nice to meet you.
Yeah, man, nice to meet you. Thanks for coming out.
Going to the fights tonight a little bit later on. But, man, have y'all been to a game in the arena this year? Have y'all been there yet?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the main reason I'm calling. The hype man. You know, are you familiar with the hype man?
Yeah.
On the microphone?
Yeah.
He's the worst.
Wow.
Sorry.
We're also a little biased, but it's not great.
He's the absolute worst. There's got to be some in-game change. He's so depressing. It's very bad. Can you get in there and do something about it? Russell, can you get on the mic?
Russell's going to say, I'll let you handle that.
Can you hop on the mic for me?
That's JJ, right?
I actually have not been to a game
yet
this year, so I don't have background here.
It's the worst.
It's not good.
Houston, can you attest to this?
It's not good.
It's
the same guy for football, and it's just kind of like, all right, you can say certain things, but
no, and the poor guy wears the same outfit every day. They need to hook him up with some clothes. It's the worst. They need some more TVs around the arena, and They need to drop Cowboy. He just needs to go. But thanks, guys. Love you guys.
Thank you, Jordan. Airing a series of grievances against the.
It's one way to start, I guess. Right? I mean, it's one way to kick off the show.
Oh man! I mean, it looked like a fantastic atmosphere in the building, and
so the ticket sales have been good, right? Yeah. Oh. I mean, a couple weeks ago, you know, there were 10 home games left. 5 of them were sold out. Sellouts are one thing, but like butts in seats are another. You can sell a ticket and not get used, and you still get credit for, you know, the quote unquote sellout. Today looked like a butts in seats sellout. This I mean, looked like everybody and everything was full. You had the environment. I'm a little surprised, I guess, that they didn't play a little better in the second half. But
yeah, well, I mean, what's going on here? I mean, this is the second game in a row that we've had an opponent down and we've let our foot off their throats.
I don't know.
Do we lack a little killer instinct? Do we lack a little bit of that dog?
Well, I would say yes if it wasn't, you know, the last 5 minutes of every game usually are pretty good, but to start the second half, there is a little bit of a lull, and it seems kind of consistent. In fact, you saw this a lot last year. But when you're up by 15 or whatever it was at the half, you can afford a little bit of that as long as your last, you know, 5 minutes are really, really good. To Tennessee's credit, the last 5 minutes of regulation in just about every game have been sensational, especially when they've needed it. I mean, the Florida game, my goodness, the last 2 minutes you went from, what, down 3 to winning by 11 or 12. So
that's a good point.
Yep. It's
different story a week ago.
I don't know if it's a we know when to ramp it up. We know exactly how to ramp it up. We don't want to – maybe you don't want to do that too early and allow a team to adjust to it. You mm-hmm. want to kind of finish them off with the run. But I think it's safe to say there's a little bit of a, why is the first 15 minutes of the second half, especially defensively? Offensively, that's going to come and go. You know, obviously tonight Admiral didn't have a great night. But they did finish in the last five. But the first 15 on defense have been interesting. So is that the other team making adjustments? Is that a lackadaisical kind of attitude coming out of the half when you have a pretty good lead? I'm not sure. I mean, I know all week that's what they preach. That's what Rick Barnes was preaching to his team is, hey, we got beat in the second half against Arkansas. That's unacceptable. Well, you got whipped in the second half tonight by Tennessee standards. I mean, you lost by 9 in the second half. You still won the game, but that's not supposed to happen. With a veteran team they're this talented, they're this good, they're experienced. I realize that Petty hit a bunch of just wild shots, but still, I mean, you got to close that guy down a little bit earlier than they did. That said, it's hard to knock the last 3 to 5 minutes of the game, given the circumstances. They kind of did their job.
Let's get back to the phones here. Sean is up next. Voluntary Reaction. Hello, Sean.
Hey. What's going on? Good time last night.
Hey, man. Yep. Thanks for coming out.
Absolutely. Better time today, man. That was our first game of the year going to, and they had a really, really good atmosphere. Nobody left early. Just about every, like you guys said, just about every seat was filled. A butt in a seat.
Hey, but, great effort by the fans, too. I mean, when the game was on the line, you could, the energy coming out of the TV screen was palpable. I mean, that looked like a raucous environment.
And there were no students' tickets left. I know my roommates tried to get tickets this morning, no student tickets, and I felt like they were all there, too.
Impressive.
Another huge part.
Yeah,
impressive.
We sit right behind the band next to the student section, and it was full, and it was definitely loud. I haven't heard that place that loud in quite some time. That final. Avery Johnson was livid on that travel call. From where I was sitting, it was hard to see. It didn't look like a travel. Was it an actual travel?
I didn't think so.
I didn't see a travel.
There are some people, there was a weird kind of foot shuffle, but I feel like that's something we see a lot that goes uncalled. Or, you know, just kind of a twist of the ankle, a little slide, you know. We see that a lot. Moonwalking, I guess they call it. A
little drag of the pivot foot there.
But, I mean, if... Yeah. If they hadn't called it, I don't think any of us would be sitting here going, he walked.
Yeah. He did hook, though.
Okay.
He did hook.
He did hook.
There was a hook that was not called. So one or the other, maybe, but that was a hook.
I was thinking it was a makeup call is what I thought. I mean, it was very contentious down there the last 2 minutes, man. We were rowdy. Good time, man. You guys enjoy the show.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Good seeing you in the misses yesterday. Correction, it's a Wednesday night game against Vanderbilt this week. 7 o'clock tip-off, ESPN2. And then a week from today, we've got West Virginia coming in here. A West Virginia team that...
Until today, I was like...
People had written them off. They're having a terrible
season.
By their standards. And then today, they just beat Kansas.
They beat Kansas.
65-64. Now, do we have them at home, or do we have to go there?
It is here.
Okay.
Now, that Kansas team, since they lost Azubuike...
Different team.
It's still a very good team, though. They did struggle a little bit with Texas at home, I saw this past week, and then obviously tonight. But still, I mean, that's a huge win for Bob Huggins and the Mountaineers.
Yeah. Kansas is not as good without Azubuike, obviously. They are still very good. Mm-hmm. And for West Virginia, who frankly recently has been awful, I think this is their first win in the Big 12. I think they were 0-4 or 0-5.
Yes, they were.
To get Kansas, you wonder if maybe they're building a little bit of momentum. They did have them at home, obviously. They traveled to Tennessee in a week. But for the last month, I've been thinking, oh, West Virginia, wow, we got another great draw in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. Now they're looking like they're finding a little something out, which is fine. I'm fine with that. I like more tests.
Ryan is next. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, so I guess you could say the best part of that game was probably T. Martin. Let's just be honest.
Great introduction for T. Martin early in the first half. Played a little tribute video. He came out right after Chaney. The crowd erupted. I'm sure he felt good. And I got a couple texts during that moment from guys in the stadium or in the arena and said, not a lot of dry eyes. It felt pretty good to watch T. Martin trot out to center court as a welcomed addition to the football staff.
Yeah, unfortunately, everything pretty much went downhill from there. But
we peaked too early.
Right. I've been watching every game all year, and I'd say that's probably the worst I've seen Admiral play. Now, he did hit some big shots down the stretch, but he looked awful for the first until the last 2 minutes.
He did. Keep shooting it.
He wasn't missing, you know, crazily. They weren't just horrible shots, or, you know, he wasn't just banging them off the backboard. A lot of those rimmed in and rimmed out. I guess he was just a touch off today, but he is a senior leader. You want to keep going to him, and ultimately in crunch time, he did kind of, you know, hit a couple that vaulted you to the win, but I don't know. I saw some people tweeting. They said they thought the team looked a little sluggish, a little tired. I don't know if Rick Barnes maybe went a little harder than normal after the Arkansas game, or if, I don't know, maybe just a Saturday with so much on the line, guys got a little bit nervous about potentially being number one. But, yeah, he was off. In fact, I thought offensively Tennessee looked a little off. Everybody shooting the basketball a little bit off. Luckily, you know, you rebounded okay, and – you were able to get a couple. What was the one possession early in the first half? You got like three offensive possessions and finished it with the Pons alley-oop. Stuff like that goes a long way, especially in the end when it's a three-point game. They gave the right effort at the right times, but yeah, I thought the – and maybe Alabama has a lot to do with that. I thought their guards were quick. I thought their post defense – I mean, Hall's really good. They had a lot to do with that. Tennessee struggled shooting the ball. Like, their percentage was good, especially in the first half, but the quality of shot – and the, I guess, amount of shots they got didn't seem to fit what Tennessee normally does. It was a weird day.
Yeah, Alabama tightened up for sure on defense in the second half.
Yeah, second half, Alabama's defense was good.
Yeah, but I think it's just something about playing Alabama in basketball. I still can't even remember the last win we've had at Alabama. Like, I hate that court, just like I hate Vanderbilt's court. But we just struggle against Alabama in basketball. I think I heard John Reed say on Friday that since 1950, the only two teams that we've had a losing record against in the SEC is Kentucky and Alabama.
Yeah, they're a little bit of an Achilles heel for Tennessee, and have been for a while.
Well, I mean, they've got a sneaky good basketball tradition. I mean, we all look at them as a football school, but I remember growing up, I mean, Wimp Sanderson had some great Alabama teams, and they always had good players, always in the tournament, and you know, they went through a couple of down patches here, but I think Avery Johnson is a pretty good coach. He's got NBA experience. They run good stuff. They play hard. They've got nice players, and they're going to win their share of games, I believe, as well. Kyra Lewis is a fine looking point guard. That kid's only 17. He's supposed to be a high school senior, and he's out there going toe to toe with Jordan Bone today. Dropped, I think, 12 points in the game and played really well for them.
Yeah, I knew there was going to be a team heading into this season as far as the SEC goes that there's always that one team every year that you're like, you beat them, but you don't want to see them at all come SEC tournament time. And I think Alabama is going to be that team for us, honestly.
Yep, this team qualifies. That's not a team I'm looking forward to seeing again. If you'd asked me that at halftime, I don't know that I would have said that. But Avery Johnson, as Russ mentioned, good coach, made some nice adjustments, figured out the mismatch, went to Petty, and then to Petty's credit, he just kept hitting shot after shot after shot. And it took Tennessee a little longer to adjust probably than Rick Barnes and certainly this team and fan base would have liked.
Yeah, I doubt if we play them again, Petty erupts for 30 like that. But, yeah, like you're saying, Avery's a pretty good coach. And, again, it's just something about looking over and seeing Alabama across the court from you that it kind of probably gets in their head a little bit.
I think that's a fair point. I think especially after what happened last year. I think you come into a game like this with a lot to prove if you're Tennessee. Getting whipped last year in Tuscaloosa. The first half, you didn't play great, but you go into the half with a double-digit lead. You feel pretty good. And then maybe you kind of think, yeah, we are as good as we thought. Alabama's not as good. And then Alabama, to their credit, what they scored, was it Petty with 12 straight to start the second half? And then you got to kind of refocus and realize, hey, you're back in a basketball game again.
Yeah, they started the second half on a 16-0 run. And yeah. I think at that point, I think the guys probably had a flashback to last year. And I think it kind of got, like I said, got in their heads for the next few minutes after that. But, again, finally they settled down and they did what veteran teams are supposed to do. So,
good stuff. Ryan, anything else, my man?
That's it.
I appreciate the phone call. Let's get Alex in here next. Voluntary Reaction on Fox Sports Knoxville. Houston Kress, Russell Smith, Rick Butler with you here on a Saturday afternoon. Tennessee survives against Alabama 71-68 for their, 12 in a row now?
Ooh.
12 wins in
a
row.
I think so.
I believe Tennessee. Yep. And now we'll watch and see if Duke.
19 straight at home, I believe.
Wow. Yeah. I'll see if Duke can help Tennessee vault to number one after Michigan loses earlier today at Wisconsin. Alex, you're on Voluntary Reaction. Hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks for doing the show and taking my call. I was going to speak to that crowd tonight. I was sitting behind the student section up to the left of them, and I got to tell you, it was goosebumps, like, for most of that game. I mean, aside from coming out of the second, second half, but it's my first game that I've seen this team, and it is something to see. So, I mean, if there's people out there that can still get tickets to one of the non-sold-out games, I definitely recommend going. I was also – I tried to liken it to almost like that Oklahoma game a few years back where it was just a complete sellout, and it was a communal energy. There wasn't any doubt about it. It was kind of weird to be around a bunch of Vol fans who had confidence, it wasn't just like blind hope that we would be able to win. So that was something special for sure.
Yeah, the energy was great. I mean,
yeah. And then it was also helpful too. I wanted to mention, I was sitting behind, like I said, the student section, but over to the left, we had the new recruits. And Jeremy Pruitt with his wife and kid were there, and it was really cool to see not just Jim Chaney and T down there, but Jeremy kind of rubbing shoulders with everybody, and it was a cool, very family atmosphere, but just a great thing to leave for the football recruits as well. So just all in all, a great night for Tennessee. I just wanted to call in and compliment all the fans out there and you guys for doing the show. So keep doing what you're doing, and I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate the phone call. Big recruiting weekend, I guess. There. I don't know that we had one of those. I think we have four visitors in officially. A bunch of 2020 kids, Houston. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that any of the four official visitors this weekend are guys that were really hell-bent on signing. I think some of those guys are coming in a little bit later. But still, T. Martin's first big recruiting weekend. Yeah. On campus, we lose Charles Kelly. That's
officially
the only. That's the
today,
only thing we lost to officially. Alabama was Charles Kelly.
Damn it! You're big Charles Kelly guy, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think for that position, I know Florida State fan. He sucked his defensive court. Hey, there's a reason Nick Saban's hiring the guy. Like he's a good secondary coach. He's a good recruiter with lots of ties to Florida. He was our special teams coach. I just think there's something to be said for staff continuity. I think it's it's a pretty big loss. And it'll be interesting to see what we do to replace him now, as there's some thought that we might just leave that open.
That's what I'm wondering, because you're full. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You're full now. You can't add anybody without losing someone else. And I guess
– seems like we still have one too many coaches on the offensive side of the ball.
Like, is Pruitt going to hop over to safeties and say, this will be my group now? Maybe, and then who just takes over special teams?
Maybe just name Terry Fair secondary coach.
Perhaps.
And with Chaney there now and T. Martin maybe quarterback's coach, leave the other guys the same.
Yeah, they said today his official duties will be named this week. But, yeah, like, do you put him at – wide receiver, or he's never coached quarterbacks except in high school.
Do you put Chris Winkie at quarterbacks and T? I mean, there's
possibly
a couple of different ways you could slice it.
Chaney also likes to coach quarterbacks. That's one of the reasons he was upset at Georgia, is they took away the responsibility of coaching quarterbacks from him.
But if
I happen to like Jim Chaney as quarterbacks coach,
sure. But if Chaney is more of a roving coordinator, you know, just head coach of the offense, that gives Pruitt more time to do what he wants to do anyway, which is spend all his time on the defensive side of the ball, working a lot with those DBs. Mm-hmm. So maybe that is just kind of the way they go.
Might keep him a little out of Jim Chaney's hair, too, which is not a bad thing. Based on reports about, you know, he and Tyson Helton butting heads a little bit, the more time Pruitt spends with the secondary and the safeties, maybe that's a little less time he can have to nitpick.
Yeah,
Jim Chaney's offense during practice.
That will be one of the key storylines next season to be, is what happens when the first time.
Needless to say.
Heat of battle.
Yeah.
Jeremy Pruitt, a little bit of a hothead.
He's intense.
That first time he and Chaney get into a shouting match over the headset, will they both be able to put it behind them and move on the next Monday Sunday in the office? And it'll be interesting. Let's get right back to it here. Brad is next. Voluntary reaction on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Well, guys, I guess just proves we're not the 96 Bulls, and we can't just take on all comers and steamroll all competition, because if we have a C-minus game and some person I've never heard his name before scores 30 in our building, then we can be beat. And we didn't lose, but hopefully we'll take notice and come back next game with the chip that I'm used to seeing, because I didn't see it today.
It's a really good point. I mean, I think the best lessons for teams that are this good are games where you still win, but you played really bad. It's like, I know Rick Barnes spent the whole week saying, oh, you didn't play good defense in the second half. It's hard for that really to hit home when you win 106 to whatever, 87 or whatever it was. This feels a little different. This feels like a game that Rick Barnes and the staff, when they start showing film, when they start coaching in practice, when they start, you know, nitpicking a little bit, the message hits a little closer to home, that maybe the players take a little bit more stock in it. It's tough to listen to the coach and really dig in when you can look up at the scoreboard and you won by 19 and you scored 106. Today was very different. Like, if this game goes on another 5 to 6 minutes, it's very realistic that Tennessee loses by, you know, 7, 8, 9. So you give them credit for closing, obviously, but the second half was really bad. And I agree with you. I don't think they had that. Jay Williams said it last week on ESPN. This team is number 3 in the country. They coach and they play like they're number 353 in the country. They play and they coach with a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
They didn't have it today. They really didn't. I agree. From start to finish, they just looked like a team that thought, yeah, we're really good. We're going to come out here and take care of business. They did that in the first half. And then I think they got a little sleepy to start the second half, and Bama made them pay for it.
Well, and here's the thing, Brad, is we got Alabama's best effort tonight.
No doubt.
We're going to play
better. And that's a team that's going to get better as the year goes on.
Yeah, but we're going to play teams a lot better than them, too.
Sure, sure.
So, I mean, the guys have to know that.
Yeah, this is just about as bad as we can play.
Let's hope so.
that second half is probably their worst half of the season, right?
Yeah, that's the worst I've seen them play all season.
Looked a little rattled.
Yeah, like we just we were making mistakes that I'm used to us just rolling through to our offense or playing defense and them not even getting that many clean looks. Like, they more layups in this game than I can remember. Like, they were just getting the ball inside all night, just passing the right passes. I don't know. I'm not used to seeing it. Not from these guys.
That's actually been kind of a consistent theme against Georgia. I think 10 of their like 15 field goals were just point blank dunks, because you lose somebody on an inside pass and a cut. That's probably something Tennessee needs to work on, because it was the same today with Alabama. A lot of their shots were Hall on a back cut off a double team, and he's, you know, 4 feet above the rim just flushing it down. That's what happened against Georgia. Arkansas got a few of those. You know, I think last year and the year before, it was, why are we jumping at every three-point attempt, right? Why are we
Hans
leaving?
Hans was out of position a lot.
Yeah, like,
he
that's
was,
the thing.
He was
I don't
jumping at the dude on the line over and over again.
Yeah, we got to figure something out there, because teams are going to shoot a lot of threes. That's just going to happen. We can't use that as an excuse to let the interior defense kind of break down. And for a few games now, it kind of has. It hasn't cost you, because you keep scoring on the offensive end. But in the second half today, we kind of saw the problem. Hey, when the offense isn't just clicking, and then obviously Bama had Petty going crazy, but they still got those easy layups and dunks because you just lose somebody in the paint. With a veteran team, you don't expect that to happen. That's something that needs to get fixed pretty quick, in my opinion.
Well, one thing I was wondering, how many points did Sexton score against us last year? Did Petty actually have a better day than him today? Because my
I was just
God,
looking at that.
Guy was on a hot streak on 2K, man. He couldn't miss.
Sexton I had this up just a minute ago. Sexton last year had 16 points against us. Petty had 14. Dante Hall had 17 and 11. I mean, he
Hall killed,
killed
you last year.
Yeah. So
really, the whole team did, and your offense didn't show up at all.
Yeah. Well, anyways, happy to get away with a W. Appreciate the God's work you guys are doing after all these games, and Holly's got to go. So I'll see you guys later.
A little kicker there from Brad.
That's the chaser to the shot of the call. That's beautiful right there.
27. We shot 27% in the game against them.
Last year?
27% from the field.
And I'll be honest, I had a couple people kind of pushing back on this. I think Alabama's defense is pretty good. They don't give you open looks from three. Tennessee only shot 12 threes today, if I'm not mistaken. And I remember a couple of those being late in the game when Admiral got pretty good looks, and he missed them because he was a little off today. But Bowden, Bone, they had to take some tough shots. Like, Bama's quickness at the guard spot, even from the guys who aren't, you know, offensively gifted, especially not as much as Petty, they still cause some problems on the perimeter for Tennessee. That hurts you getting the ball inside. That hurts you getting, you know, obviously three-pointers. The best thing Tennessee did today at times was when Bone or Bowden would drive, create some separation, and then look to pass to the paint or obviously hit the short kind of pull-up jumper. But I think you have to give Alabama a lot of credit today. That's that's a team that's not bad. They beat Kentucky not that long ago. They're just kind of up and down. They're young. They're trying to fill in some new roles from some of the guys they had last year. That's not a bad team.
I'm just wondering how they lost at home to that Texas A&M squad. I know it's the crazy three-runner, you know, banked in at the end. But, you know, Texas A&M, from everything I've seen, is, you know, the dregs of the SEC this year. And Alabama 11-6 overall now, 2-3 in SEC. It seems like they, at least based off what we saw today, should be a little bit better than that record says.
Looking at the box score, they gave up 21 to a guy off the bench named Nebo, who went 10-for-12 from the field.
Nebo. Gotta watch Nebo.
A little Petty situation on Alabama by Nebo. Nebo and Petty. Gotta guard them.
Yeah, they got knocked TFO by Nebo, evidently.
Nebo.
I'll just show myself out. Let's bring in Trey Wallace, host of It's Optional, heard weekdays from 1 to 3 right here on Fan Run Radio. He was covering the game for us today at Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena. T-Dubs, how you doing, my man?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon to you.
Howdy, Trey.
A win over Alabama, I guess. You know, nobody can complain, right? I mean, it's what it is.
Talk radio. We can find plenty to complain about.
We can nitpick, but at the end of the day, the W by the box score feels pretty good.
Right. And look, this was a game, and I agree, I've been listening to y'all just for a minute, and I agree, this is a game where Tennessee did not play their best, and they still came out with a hard-fought, gritty win at the end. And look, take away what Admiral was doing shooting-wise in the second half. You just didn't see it from the perimeter. You know, the one problem I look at with Tennessee's defense, and I'll continue to harp on this till they fix it, is that they are getting killed on the pick and rolls. And they are leaving the paint wide open for opposing teams for them to take advantage. And if I counted right tonight, I think Alabama had 18 points off pick and roll type plays in the paint where they're just easy layups and easy balls to the basket. And that's something Tennessee's got to fix. Either they've got to switch up whoever they're putting on the starting guard and figure out how they're going to go with the man defense, or you go into the 2-3 zone. I don't know, but that's one thing they do have to fix. But, I mean, other than that, they shot the ball pretty well. I think that, you know, with Petty, the guy was just out of his mind today. And he was just, you know, just yanking up threes from everywhere. And look, this was a performance by Tennessee. Maybe it's a wake-up call. Maybe it's like, okay, we're not going to beat these guys up every week. We're going to get their best. And today we got that opportunity.
There was a lot of turnover in the league, Trey. I mean, like, Bama looks different. You know, obviously Vanderbilt, LSU, Missouri, even Kentucky, Florida, they all look different. And I'm wondering if, because Tennessee stayed mostly the same, you're going to see Tennessee kind of jump out of the gate. But a lot of these teams are going to get better as the year goes on. We're kind of looking at the SEC right now and saying, oh, yeah, the league's down. They're not as good as everyone thought they would be. I think a lot of these teams are going to improve as the season goes on. The question is, can Tennessee match that intensity and kind of pick up on the new traits that certain teams are going to throw at them?
Well, you're going to get some teams that are going to get you twice. So they're going to figure out what you did the first time around, and then they're going to try to come back and expose that the second time around. It's all about Rick Barnes and this Tennessee ball club figuring out what goes best for them. How do we expose these teams on the paint, especially with the size that they have down low? And I think you saw that tonight in certain instances where you had Grant Williams and Kyle Alexander and Admiral going up and fighting for these rebounds, and, you know, they come off one, two, three tips before they got it.
Yeah.
Look, you saw them put up a gritty defensive performance, but the problem is perimeter defense, as of right now, trying to figure out, you know, where the ball man's going, and then also shoring up the paint. But look, Tennessee gets a big win today, and look, there were so many different other things that involved into this game. When you had, you know, T. Martin coming on the court, and I found out about that this morning. I knew he'd be out there, and it was such a crazy environment. Like, when they first brought Jim out there, I was like, okay, all right, now where's the video? And then all of a sudden the video starts playing, and I tell you, 23,000 people, whatever you want to call it, it was an amazing experience to be around. And look, Tennessee fans fed off that, and they were loud today. They wanted to be there. It was an atmosphere that Tennessee's going to need next weekend when they play West Virginia. And the good part about this, and I said this on my show, guys, and hopefully I think you guys will agree, with Tennessee playing this good, you're going to see you're going to start seeing a lot more Tennessee fans go on the road with this team. Like, I imagine Memorial Gym Wednesday night at Vanderbilt, it's probably going to be 5,000-6,000 Tennessee fans.
It was announced today, Trey, that game sold out. Yeah, I'm with you. I have a feeling the orange turnout in that building is going to be pretty good.
Right. So, it's something for these young men to build upon. It's a game that was sloppy, but look, you chalk it up now. You got the win. You continue moving forward, and you fix the problems that you had. So, hey, Tennessee's still rolling, and if Duke can beat Virginia tonight, Tennessee Volunteers are probably number one in the nation come Monday morning.
Trey, just got to ask you before we let you run here, what was Rick Barnes like post-game? Was he relieved, upset with the way he played, enthused about the victory?
And Ferg, look, he's upset the way the second half is continuing to come about and his team not being able to perform up to the standards of letting
problem.
Other teams beat them in the second half. And that's things that were talked about last week. I overheard it being mentioned in the hallway. You know, when I was leaving, I was walking by him, and that's what he was talking about. So this is a squad that Rick Barnes is going to try to get the most out of. But if they do not start coming out of the second half a little bit better than they are, they're going to have a team that's going to knock them off sometime soon.
Trey, great stuff, my man. Appreciate you taking time to jump in with us. It's optional. Monday, 1 p.m., yep. Right here on Fan Run Radio. Can't wait.
Hey, guys, you be blessed. Have a good evening. Y'all continue to do the Lord's work.
Thanks, man. Trey Wallace making his presence felt on the Voluntary Reaction.
What a weird problem to have. Like, you're so good in the first half that you let down in the second half.
The tough part about it, I think it is, too, These phone calls, man.
That's a good problem.
The tough part I think about it is, too, is if you're being cold out of the second half, it's not even at the same time that the other team is also cold at the same time, right? Alabama didn't shoot great in the first half, and so if you were similar to that in the second half, it'd be one thing. But you're letting that guy, you're letting Petty just go off when you are having this cold streak. And so it just kind of feels like a double whammy. I think if you're Tennessee, you are going to start playing these better teams with better players. And so how do you aim to stop those very good players when they do go on runs? Because you got to assume that's going to happen. I think that's something that Tennessee has to shore up before we do start going into SEC tournament time and then the March Madness tournament time is – if you're against a player like Petty today who just absolutely goes off out of his mind, what are you going to do to stop it? Because obviously
that was
a
long time.
Yeah,
it took a long time for Tennessee to figure out how to put the brakes on Petty.
And even in the second half there, when I believe it was like about 5 minutes left, the commentators were saying, well, Petty just hasn't touched the ball in five possessions.
We held him scoreless the last 10 minutes of the game.
No, yeah. they did figure it out. I mean, he was 5 for 5 from three at one point, I think with, 10 or so minutes to go in the second half. He finished one of his last five. So you did a better job. Yeah. You denied him the ball. You played better defense when he had the ball. It just felt like it took a long time. Like, you know what they're doing. They kept giving him the ball in every possession. Why did it take 10 minutes to figure that out? That was my question.
These all these coaches, there's a chess match going on there in the second half. And all these coaches, Trey talked about our problems with the ball screen defense. All these coaches want to, we don't switch. We'll fight through everything, And then it happened last week. We started switching everything against Florida, and we shut them down. And it happened in the second half again today. We switch everything, and we shut them down. Maybe we ought to just do that normally?
What you're saying.
I mean, not far be it from – I'm just some guy, man. The next game, my coach will be my first. Rick Barnes is a Hall of Famer. It just seems like we have been able to lock down defensively in the second half of these games. And here's the thing, guys, is like this is finishing a team off is a hard thing to teach, right? Because
I mean wasn't that the biggest problem last year and the year before? Was you get the big lead. I mean, Arkansas last year, you led by 18 with 5 minutes to go, you lose the game. You jumped out to like an 18-point lead on Auburn, you lost the game. You had a big lead against North Carolina. You lost the game. It's weird, but it's a similar pattern, but the end result is now positive.
Well, how do you practice?
I don't know
that, because at a certain point, if you go out on the if Rick Barnes takes these guys out on the practice court tomorrow or Monday, whenever they practice next, and says, "All right, guys,
it'll be tomorrow."
The next
no day
time,
off after this performance.
The next time. We have a 15-point lead. Here's what we're going to do. Well, you're telling your guys, hey, we're going to have a 15-point lead again.
I know. It's tough.
So at some level in their mind, they're thinking, well, we're good enough to get the 15-point lead.
Yeah.
So how do you work on not getting the big head without giving your guys the big head?
We're too good. We're too good.
Yeah.
The key
play
is
to walk on some more.
Yeah, play them early. Play them in the
bench.
First half. Don't get the big lead, and so you don't have the letdown.
Start Zach Kent. Next time
fixed
out.
It yep. Right here. Voluntary reaction just fixed it.
Should we have done the Chaney introduction in the first half and the T. Martin introduction in the second half?
Yes.
I think that's maybe why
too
we just had that momentum.
Too much energy in the first half.
Exactly.
We have to pace the energy.
Spread the love.
In the arena.
865-546-8200 is your number. Let's get some more phone calls going here. On voluntary reaction. Here on Fan Run Radio, 546-8200 is your number to call in this afternoon as Tennessee survives a close one against Alabama, 71-68, your final. And here we go, next week at Vanderbilt, Wednesday night at 7.
Mm-hmm.
A week from today, we've got West Virginia, Bob Huggins coming in here. That game's been sold out for a long time, so another
big
raucous
win. Big win by the Mountaineers today.
Week after that, at South Carolina, at Texas A&M, a couple
South
long
Carolina, they hit the SEC play, and all of a sudden they look like world beaters.
Frank Martin, they're gonna get up into you and make you earn it. So, we're in this two game a week SEC grind from here on out. We only went.
We're in it now.
We only played three guys off the bench today, so that bench has shortened up a little bit. As we go through this I can't imagine that at some point we won't need Derek Walker to come in and give us some minutes. Fulkerson, only 7 minutes today. Feels like we probably need more from him.
We're a legit seven deep, but I mean, again, Grant fouls out. I think Derek Walker and Fulkerson are the two that it's like, hey, we got to get these guys kind of going a little bit. And it's weird because Derek Walker at times last year kind of played a lot. And I don't know if he's going through that Admiral Schofield year two kind of pullback from Barnes because he's not wanting to do everything that coach wants him to do. But Derek Walker at times has proven that he can pass in the post, he can defend in the post, and at the very least, he's five fouls that maybe you could use to take away from fouls that Kyle or Grant would have to give. But I think I'm with you, man. Those two guys are the ones that kind of need to start picking it up because I think, you know, against teams like Vanderbilt, like South Carolina, like West Virginia, you're going to need those guys if for no other reason than to spell Grant and to spell Kyle and, I don't know, maybe take some fouls off the plate of the big guys.
Yeah, I agree. Let's get Travis in here next. Travis, you're on the Voluntary Reaction. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Going well. Thanks.
Y'all just kind of touched on what I was going to call about. I think the biggest issue is Grant's foul trouble. Mm. I mean, I know it was just a few seconds left in the game, and it didn't hurt us. But had Alabama hit that three, we go to overtime, and we have the Kansas situation all over again.
Yep.
It just seems like it's every time it's a close game, Grant's fouling out.
Yeah, and true. That was one of the things this week. It was a story, you know, they go to visit Tony White, who's battling leukemia, and the first thing that Tony White wants to talk about is Grant Williams staying out of damn foul trouble. And then tonight he gets in a little bit of foul trouble again.
Yeah, it's something, SEC tournament time and definitely NCAA tournament time, you can't have your best player fouling out any. I mean, we got to have him on the floor.
Yeah, you go back to last year.
He fouled out, but he also played really well today, in fairness.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He did. I mean, he's a technician. He's our best, most consistent player, and you got to have that guy on the floor at the end of games. So
That's why I'm saying Fulkerson, Walker, let's go. When Grant needs a break, we need to be able to give him one because, as any coach will tell you, when are you most likely to foul? When you're tired. If we can give him a little bit, you know, a 2 or 3 minute break here and there, let him go over, catch his breath, get some Gatorade and come back in, he's probably less likely to foul. And I don't mind if it's Walker and Fulkerson doing the fouling because that's going to happen anyway. I just don't need – I need those to be fouls, you know, 1 and 2 on Walker or Fulkerson and not 3 or 4 on Grant early in the second half to where everything changes. By the way, Kentucky going into the half at Auburn up 8, 35-27, the Wildcats lead on the road in what Jimmy Dykes described as the most raucous environment in the country today.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys.
He directly
guys, and, y'all
Duke
have a good
too
one
for that.
Thanks, Travis. Appreciate it.
Did he say that about both? He said that about Duke also?
He specifically said that it was over Duke.
Oh.
He said, I know that's what people think, but it'll be Auburn.
Well, who's the guard that's out tonight for Duke with the shoulder?
Trey Jones, he's going to be gone for a while.
Really? So. They said he'd be okay, but he is going to be out for quite a bit of time?
As far as I know, yeah.
AC
I it was
joint
a,
separation
yeah
or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, well, there was some guy.
I hate rooting for Duke, but I have to do it tonight.
Yeah, I saw, I think Seth Davis, somebody on Twitter said, you know, for comparison, there was a guy, the Timberwolves had a guy who had the same injury and ended up missing 5 weeks.
Wow.
Earlier. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's get Jamie in here next. Jamie, you're on the reaction. What up?
Guys, feels good to be good at something again, doesn't it?
Feels good to be good. Well said, Jamie.
I guess we're the new, since we managed to dodge that Vanderbilt 08 bullet, and looks like we're going to be the new number one, doesn't it?
Well,
depends on the poll, but if Virginia were to somehow wax Duke tonight, I think you probably give Virginia the nod. If the game's at all close, or obviously if Duke wins with Michigan losing by 10, I think it'd be very difficult to not have Tennessee at the number one spot.
And they are Virginia's already number one in the coaches poll.
What do coaches know?
Yeah, exactly. They're number four in the other poll. So, yeah, I would say our chances are pretty good at being AP top 25 number one.
Are they undefeated?
Virginia is
undefeated, yes. Are they the only one left now?
Yes.
Since Michigan lost today?
No one else.
They're it, right? Okay.
Yep.
Well, I hate to say it, but let's go Duke.
Oh, it hurts to say. I can't actually say it. I can't say LGD. I can say I want Duke to win. I can't do their own cheer, though.
No.
Yeah, I'll leave that to Davey.
I hope the Cavaliers lose tonight then. How's that?
Yes. I'm with you.
Well, guys, it looked scary there for a little bit, but I just, you know, even under the Bruce Pearl basketball led teams, you just feel like these guys don't have that, you know, these upperclassmen don't have that panic in them. You just feel like they're never, you know, they're never shook. You know, they're not the most talented team, so they've always played with a chip on their shoulder. I mean, they're not the most highly recruited players,
right?
So they've always seemed to play with that, you know, kind of chip on their shoulder, and you know, I just think that's kind of what squeaked us by today. I don't have much. It's my first time this year on the show, so I just wanted to say this: it's, you know, I've given Barnes what for the first 2 years he was here, and even going into last year's campaign. But man, it's hard not to see, you know, what's right in front of your face, and he's doing a hell of a job with these guys. I hope we can keep it going. I know we're losing a lot at the end of this year, and I know it's too early to talk about that, so I'm gonna stay in the present. Congratulations, Vol. It was so cool to see Tony White in there, man. Being my age, that guy brings me back. I remember that guy was one of the most talented guards we had come through here in some time, back whenever we didn't have a lot, you know, on our basketball program. Wouldn't really do anything, not going to tournaments, not even getting the NITs. Pray he does well. I hope he beats this like he does everything else. But yeah, let me just say congratulations to the boys and Barnes. Y'all are proving me wrong. That's tough to do, and y'all hanging in.
Thanks, Jamie. Yeah, it's been a tough start to the season for the Barnes Bashers.
No doubt, and for people who, you youngins out there, Tony White, I believe, holds the all-time
the Wizard
home scoring record, 51 against Auburn in 1987. I want to say. At Stokely.
I was like one.
I had to YouTube him.
I wasn't there either.
Yeah, I went to high school with his
son. I've heard stories.
TWJ. Wow. I went to high school with Tony White Jr. Yeah. Watched him drop like 51 against Farragut. But
they said that guy's going right back to Nashville right after that game is over to get treatment. But he told his doctors, he was like, no.
Got
to
make this one.
I want to go to one game. I want to go to this one. I'll come right over there after.
Yeah,
so he's on his way.
Obviously, he has a bone marrow transplant, you know, to come in order to beat the leukemia. He did the GoFundMe. I don't know if you saw this. He was trying to raise $10,000. Yeah. It took 9 days, and they've already raised over 20. I think they're over 21,000 now.
It's awesome.
The question now, and maybe this has already been answered and I haven't seen it, is can they find a donor, a match? And the fact that they're already trying to raise money for the procedure, I'm hopeful that means they've already got the donor lined up.
How do you know if you're, like, if you wanted to donate, like, how do you know if you're a match?
So this is it's so easy. If you go to bethechange.org, we learned about this on Friday. I'm well versed. You fill out some information, they send you a kit, you take four Q-tips, you swab upper right, upper left, bottom left of your mouth, you put the kit back into the package they send and mail it back. And if you're a match, they'll let you know and give you the option of whether or not you want to donate bone marrow. It's as easy as a blood donation. You sit there, they essentially filter your blood. It takes 4 to 6 hours for a donation, but they filter your blood and then they put that same blood back into your body. So it's two IVs. It goes out, it gets filtered, they take the bone marrow out of your blood, and then all of a sudden you have donated. And it's not what it used to be, where they had to drill into your actual hip bone and remove, you know, bone marrow. It's very, very easy. And apparently the problem with this type of procedure now is the registry is small as far as donors. But it's very easy to join the registry if you just go to bethechange.org. Again, four swabs of a Q-tip in your mouth.
That's incredible, man.
And they can match you with somebody.
I
signed up on Friday.
Yeah, I will definitely do that. I mean, like literally
the very least we could do.
It took me 5 minutes to fill out the online form, and then you just put in your address. They're going to send me a box with the four Q-tips. I swab my mouth. I send it in. And then if you're paired, you don't have to donate. You have the option. But then all you have to do is one or two donations where you go in, they hook you up to the IVs. It's 4 to 6 hours, maybe once, maybe twice, and you're done. And you don't lose anything. It's not like it's not something you can't get back. Your body just recreates more. It's really neat.
No, that's outstanding. BeTheChange.org. Go check it out. All right, Bill is up next with us. Hello, Bill. You're on the Voluntary Reaction.
Aloha, Russell. This is Bear.
Oh, Bear.
I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew it. I said that in my text.
Did he just say?
He goes, "This is Bill, B-I-L-L, Bill."
Okay, Bear making it weird on a Saturday.
All right, can I continue my call with Houston and Russ?
Yes.
Okay. All right, be quiet then. All right. Boy, we play like that in March. We're going to have a short run.
Wait, real quick. I made a mistake. It's not Be the Change. Oh. It's BeTheMatch.org.
Be the Match.
My mistake.
What are you doing, Chris?
I'm trying to save lives, Bear. Please be quiet while I'm doing so.
You're going to swab your mouth. It'll come back, you know.
It's not Be the Change. Be the Match. BeTheMatch.org.
I get it. I
be
get
the
it.
Match. Because you're trying to match with somebody.
Right.
I mean, yeah, you're changing lives and maybe saving lives, but it's BeTheMatch.org. I apologize, Bear. Please continue.
My God almighty. I'm already on the registry.
Good for you.
I've never gotten the call, though.
Yeah, interesting.
I didn't realize that they could do it without drilling into your hip anymore.
Yeah, they should have announced the change.
Are you sure about that?
I'm 100% sure, man. We had Mrs. Hodges call into the show on Friday and give us all the details. It's a blood transfusion now.
That's classified, and as far as I'm concerned, plus you for real.
Are you knocking the godmother?
Be careful. Tread lightly, Bear. I would suggest you tread very
you're
lightly.
You're going
right
against
now.
The godmother if you're saying I'm wrong.
Yeah, you.
Silence.
You start talking about basketball. Please.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Just be quiet for a minute.
It's Tony White related. It's basketball.
For the love of God. You guys want me to get fired up?
All right, just go ahead and run him. This has gone on too much. We'll talk to you later, Bear.
Call right back if you actually have something interesting to say. Sorry, we're over here trying to save lives. Oh, yeah. the monsters on Voluntary Reaction trying to save lives.
Don't let our soft, cuddly side get in the way of your hostility. If you're that angry, just go yell into the breeze somewhere.
Go to Russell's voicemail.
Yeah.
See what I have to do? 3 hours a day, man.
I don't know how you do it.
You wonder why I am the way
he calls me like 15 minutes a week. I'm done with it.
All right, Houston, I got to get your thoughts on this, man, because you're close to the Lady Vol program.
Oh, boy.
And is this uncomfortable for you to
yeah,
talk
but
about?
I can still talk about it. But, yes, it's uncomfortable.
So, I mean, I grew up here and remember the Pat Summitt era vividly. I know you have ties to the program. You don't have to go down, you know, give us your credentials again if you don't want to. But just, like, your thoughts on what's going on there. By the way, there was also a tweet from Chad Withrow, 104.5 The Zone in Nashville earlier today, that he heard that a change could be coming sooner rather than later with maybe a...
Before the end of the season.
Yeah, an in-season coaching change with Holly Warlick.
Yeah, I don't want to speculate on that. I don't know about that. But to say this isn't good enough is an understatement. Four straight SEC losses to start league play. First four-game losing streak in... almost 50 years since 1970, 49 years without doing this. And then you lost to Alabama, who was, I think, 8-8 going into the game, and they beat you for the fifth straight time. Haven't made the tournament since like 99, and you've now lost five straight to Alabama. The team looks unmotivated. They don't play hard. There was some rumors that the team quit. In the second half against Alabama, they're getting outscored by an average, I think, of 11 or more points in the third quarter all season. There are issues. They need to be addressed properly. And I get it. Like, you can't replace Pat Summitt. But if this was a team that was struggling to recruit, right? If this
yeah,
was
that's
a team,
the thing. We have the top players.
You've had two or three of the best recruiting classes in the country. You've got another one on deck. Like if it was a talent issue and it's just hard to recruit to Tennessee right now without Pat Summitt, I get that. When you're recruiting at a top 10, top 5 level and you're losing to teams like Alabama, you're losing four straight in the SEC, I mean, obviously there's only one place to look. And it's one thing if you're losing to four straight in the SEC and it's like South Carolina, Mississippi State, you know, the other teams that are typically in the top 10, top 15. Alabama was not good. Missouri, not very good. So if it's not a talent issue, kind of only leaves one last place to look when you're losing to mid and lower level SEC teams.
Yeah, it's just frustrating, and I won't profess to live and die with it. I don't watch every game, but I've watched several games this year, and just that relentless tenacity that was the hallmark of the Pat Summitt era.
Yeah.
We're going to play harder than anybody else in the country, no matter what the score is. We'll beat – if College of Charleston rolls in here, we're beating them by 90 just because we can.
Right.
And, like, you don't
– no let up.
I don't see – the games I watched against Georgia, I think, and here a couple of weeks ago, and then the other night at Alabama, and I'm seeing blow-bys galore. I'm seeing, lazy blockouts. I'm seeing – just jacking up three balls, not much movement, and it's just like this is not Lady Vol basketball, and
it's not good basketball.
No, yeah, it's bad, and I wish that Holly Warlick were, I hope that she still can be the one to fix it, but I mean that confidence for a lot of folks is flatlining here, and it would be. The answer to this problem would be easy if this weren't Beard and Grad, Lady Vol legend, Pat Summitt's handpicked successor.
Yep.
If this were just some assistant that we had hired from Virginia.
Right.
Get her, canner, bring in the next one. But it's not, man.
The waters are muddy
on
this one. It's not the no ties to the person, just get them out when it's time type of thing. This is – it feels like family. Like it's a tough move to make,
This is the reason I did not want T. Martin as head coach last year.
Yeah.
To avoid this exact same scenario.
That's one of the reasons.
You think this is painful. I mean, try firing it was hard enough firing Fulmer in 2008. All right. Charles Kelly leaves for
Bama.
For Alabama.
Damn it.
I feel like this is a – not a devastating loss, but I do feel like it's a big loss. You're a little less worried about it, I assume.
I'm not. It doesn't immediately make me worried. I am, however, very interested to see what happens next with the current staff. If it were to come out tomorrow, Jeremy Pruitt will now be coaching safeties, or Terry Fair is taking over all of the secondary. I'd feel good about that. Who takes over special teams? Is obviously another part of it. My biggest, interest point is offensively, because Chaney is a quarterback's coach, likes to coach quarterbacks, and has had success with quarterbacks, even some who weren't highly rated. I thought what he did with Eason as a freshman, what he did with Fromm when he had to come in for Eason as a freshman, obviously his work with Tyler Bray, with Matt Sims, so on and so forth, Jonathan Crompton. Clearly, this is a guy who understands quarterbacks. I want him coaching quarterbacks. So where does that leave T. Martin? Because you didn't lose David Johnson to Auburn, which seemed like a foregone conclusion for about a week. Once they hired Dillingham, the OC from Memphis, you thought, oh, he's going to go back and get David Johnson, who also coached with him at Memphis, and they're going to go to Auburn, and there's the opening. Because that's what T. is, that's what he's coached the majority of his time as a D1 coaches, wide receivers. He's been a little OC, a little passing game coordinator, so on and so forth. So do you move David Johnson somewhere? Do you give T the quarterback's coach title, but let him and Chaney do it together? I don't think that would be a bad idea
Do any of the offensive guys have defensive background?
Not that I know of. I mean, Winky, obviously all offense. I think David Johnson's been receivers. I'd have to double check and see if he's coached something else in the background. But
I know like John Lilly, who left for the Browns, been a linebackers coach and a tight ends coach and offensive. Like, he was very versatile.
Yeah, and that's my question, is how does the final shakedown look? I like the pieces. You know, I like Winkie, and apparently Pruitt does too. I like David Johnson, and I think in year two the receivers can take a big step forward. He did a great job at Memphis with the receivers. I really like Chaney coaching quarterbacks. I like T. Martin as a recruiter. And really, as long as you don't put him in a role coaching a position that's detrimental to the position, which I don't think is really possible, I think everything's fine. I just want to see kind of how it ends up shaking down. I think Chaney wants to coach quarterbacks. And again, I want him to coach quarterbacks. So do you do he and T as kind of QB coaches, even if Chaney doesn't have the official title? Maybe.
Well, when he was here the first time, he was a roving coordinator. Well, he was tight ends coach under Kiffin. And he stayed there when he got the real offensive coordinator job the next year. They had Darren Henshaw coaching quarterbacks.
That's right.
But I think Chaney was heavily involved.
Yeah, there. I mean, if you go and watch some practice footage, it's a lot of Chaney talking to the quarterbacks even early on when he was here with a different title.
Well, and you see this in the NFL where there are no restrictions on number of coaches. Well, you'll have, you know, a quarterback's coach and an offensive coordinator. So, I mean, that's one way that you could do it, because we know that Chaney, in addition to quarterbacks, is very hands-on offensive line,
tight ends. Sure.
Like, I'm sure that there probably is some aspect of that, as long as the quarterback's coach is malleable, that is probably appealing to him, is I don't have to just be quarterback's coach, as long as the quarterback's coach doesn't mind me coming in the meeting room and taking the clicker and saying, here's what we're going to do.
I just want somebody with a track record of developing quarterbacks.
Sure.
Obviously, that's the most important position on offense. We saw what happened when Butch Jones decided to hire Chico Canales to coach quarterbacks. There was no development. Mechanics were terrible. Decisions were terrible. And it was a nightmare. And you've seen what happens when you have a good quarterbacks coach, someone like David Cutcliffe, who can be OC and QB coach, and you see players take incredible jumps in one offseason. So that's my big question. And I don't know how to rank Tyson Helton as a quarterbacks coach, but I definitely don't want to take a step back from him if we don't have to. Again, T. Martin has coached wide receivers just about everywhere he's been. A little bit of running back. There were some quarterbacks, I think, maybe in high school or New Mexico that he coached. But since then, he hasn't coached quarterbacks. I want an experienced, you know, genius at the quarterback coach position.
Oh, yeah.
Because of what you've got coming in. Obviously, you bring back Garantano. You've got a super talented guy, redshirt freshman, JT Shrout. Brian Maurer just won whatever player of the year in Florida. Harrison Bailey's committed. These are the types of guys that you want to have under expert tutelage. And I'm not knocking T. Martin as a quarterback's coach. He might be fine. I would just much rather have somebody who's done it at a super high level and had a lot of success doing it. Because typically, once you coach quarterbacks, if you're good at it, you don't coach anything else ever.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
It's just interesting. You get you don't see it anymore, but I know like Bear Bryant was legendary for when his players graduated and wanted to get in coaching, he would have them start them out on the opposite side of the ball from which they played.
Interesting.
So, like, if he would take a wide receiver and say, you go coach secondary, so you can learn the other – and all those guys who coached under him, who went on to become head coaches, Bill Battle, Jerry Claiborne, all those guys would say that was instrumental in them becoming a complete coach. And you just don't see – like, Chris Winkie, you're a quarterback's coach. T. Martin, you know – There's some crossover there, and they can coach other positions, but it just seems like you get pigeonholed. And I guess Jim Chaney was a defensive lineman, right? And he's
a really good point.
Probably the exception to that rule.
Didn't David Cutcliffe start as a defensive coach, if I'm not mistaken? Am I crazy?
Well, David Cutcliffe is one of the handful of very successful coaches
that
who didn't
play football.
Yeah.
I thought he started coaching defense. I mean, what he credits to it, even if he didn't. What he credits to his success is studying defense, not offense. He studies defense because that way he knows weaknesses and tendencies and how to beat them.
It's like Saban recruiting all these receivers and turning them into safeties. You know, he says that
once you've played receiver and you understand that mindset of how to get open, it makes you a right. better defensive back.
Right.
All right, time for another phone call or two. If you want to jump in here, we wrap up 865-546-8200. Your number to get on board, the voluntary reaction, 546-8200. And just some final thoughts here. Grant Williams, quote from Grant Ramey.
I love this.
Grant and Grant.
I love it.
My goal here is to hang banners, not worry about where we're ranked halfway through the season.
Boom. Bang. Got one banner hung. Need a few more. IMO, JMO.
I feel him on that. I feel him on that. Rick, we had a caller ask if Niedermeyer could go to defense and have Chaney and Tiga. That's kind of what I was wondering when about that last little riff about coaches, because he's such a young coach, and I don't know what his playing background is, but it seemed like Pruitt just knew what a great recruiter he was going to be and just wanted to throw him out there somewhere. Okay, you go to
tight ends.
Basically. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, I had that thought in the back of my head. It's like, obviously, Niedermeyer, like Pruitt views Niedermeyer as like his protege. Could he bring him over there and make him the safeties coach and say, listen, I'm going to help.
Yeah.
Which is basically what he did with Terry Fair this year.
Then what do you do? Do you slide David Johnson to tight ends and then T. Martin to receiver?
I guess I was asking Nate about this on Friday.
Is that a demotion? If you're coaching receivers and go to running backs, or if you're coaching running backs and go to tight end, or receivers and go to tight end, is that a demotion, or does it just not matter if the money stays the same?
If they give you a raise and a title, hey, you're now your special teams coordinator, now you're recruiting coordinator, now you're the associate head coach, you know. if you know, you can go ahead and take away responsibilities and give me more money all you want. That's fine with me.
Okay. All right. I buy that. Yeah. I'm with it.
Move me from afternoon drive to overnight.
Moose needs a raise,
give
though.
Me double my salary.
Okay. Niedermeyer needs a raise. Whatever it takes to get him one, we need to make sure that happens.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's get Connor in here next. Connor, you're on Voluntary Reaction. Hello.
Hey, Russell. How you doing, man?
Hey.
It's a pleasure to be on. I'm just wondering here, because I think the consensus is we got a good group of coaches. We got a good group here, like, already assembled and everything. And I've heard a lot of differing answers when it comes to this. How many wins should we expect next year relatively before, you know, like, I'm sure there's, like, a middle 50 you could gauge that I'd say is, like, 7 or 8 wins. I think that's honestly enough. Because if you look at the way Butch Jones trended, he won 2 more each year in his tenure here. So I would say 6 is the borderline disappointing. 5 is rebellious. Anything more than 8's honestly a really good thing. What do you think, like, how many wins do you think we need next year to show progress, honestly?
Russell, we'll start with you.
Great coaches always show it their second year. I don't see us going 12-0 next year. I don't even see us winning the East, but I just off the top of my head, 8 sounds like a good number to shoot for. Like, I would be happy 8-4 right now. If you give it to me, I'd probably take it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. With a bowl game win, that would be the cherry on top of the whole thing. I would consider that a pretty substantial improvement, honestly.
8 is the number. When you talk about really successful coaches at their current stop, typically year 2, they hit the 8 win in the regular season. They hit the 8 win plateau. And then the bowl game has been kind of proven insignificant. But I mean, if you're wanting to know if he's a super-level elite coach, 8 is kind of the number. But I don't want to say that necessarily rules Jeremy Pruitt out of being very, very good in a couple of years if he only hits 6 or 7. I think every situation is different. I think the schedule sets up next year to where 8 isn't impossible. But again, there's just so many varying factors for each team. But yeah, I mean, I think anywhere between, you know, 5-7 again, or maybe even a 9-3 is possible. So if you split the difference and say 7 or 8, I think that's fair. I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. Who do you think will get those conference wins? Because obviously you got your 3 cupcake games that give you that 3-0, and then you got next few conference ones. So we beat Kentucky and Vanderbilt. That's 5 wins right there. Mm-hmm. We obviously need 3 more wins plus that. Who do you think that those wins are going to come at? Like South Carolina, maybe? I'm thinking we need to beat Kentucky and Vanderbilt for sure. Who do you think?
I think those two are pretty prime candidates, Kentucky and Vanderbilt. I think South Carolina, especially after what you saw this year, makes a lot of sense. And then I'd probably say Mississippi State is the next most likely. You mentioned the out-of-conference slate. I think Georgia State, BYU, Chattanooga are all with the BYU's weird. They have a really, really, really good quarterback, and they proved this year they can go on the road and upset some people.
Was this guy like 72 years old? Did he just get through with his Mormon mission?
Did you see what he started their bowl game like 17 of 17 for 343 yards and four touchdowns? He was exceptional. But that said, Georgia State, BYU, Chattanooga, UAB, those should be wins. I think Mississippi State is one you could win. I think you need to beat South Carolina. You need to beat Kentucky. At Missouri, that's a tough one.
Yeah, we don't know. How good is Kelly Bryant going to
be? Right. Hey, man.
He was good at Clemson. He's not going to have quite that much around him at Missouri, but that's a game I think Tennessee can win, and then obviously Vanderbilt. So if you win those, that's Vanderbilt, Missouri, Kentucky, South Carolina, Mississippi State, Chattanooga, BYU, Georgia State. So that's
what seems like a solid play.
9-3? So if you drop one or two of those, you get 7 or 8 wins. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. What are you going to one last question? What are you going to dub the name of our game versus BYU? I personally myself am calling it Mormons versus Protestants, but you know, I think there's a lot more creative names you could come up with in the house. You know.
I don't know about all that, but I would love to. I know it's a couple of years down the road. I would love to. I would love to make that road trip.
What, aren't you supposed to fly into Vegas and then drive up? I'd be all right with that.
That'd be cool.
Isn't that what they say? That's the best route?
Oh,
fly
really?
Fly into Vegas and drive north like four hours or something?
That is – I'm trying to – like, I don't even – I'm bad with geography. So you would
– It's Nevada?
You would drive north. Wouldn't it be east? I don't know. Drive through the desert to – bring your own booze. I know that much.
I was about to say it's going to be hard getting out of Vegas to go to a place that's just dry as a desert.
Complete opposites.
All right, good stuff.
Yeah, it's northeast. Northeast from Las Vegas to – is it Salt Lake City? Is that where BYU is?
No, it's not. BYU is like – Provo.
Okay, so it's a little closer than Salt Lake. Yeah, you're good.
How long a drive?
350 miles. Guess where? Make a day out of it. It's a nice drive. You're going up right there next to the
yeah, until your car breaks down in the middle of Death Valley and you're crawling through the desert.
That's
looking
a
at
different
mirages.
Place. That's
water,
a different place.
Water.
A horse with no name is playing in the background and you're just lost. Trying to figure out who you are.
The vultures are circling above.
It's 377 miles. It's a 5-hour drive through beautiful Utah.
You want to do it? You want to do it? You want to fly out there and rent a car?
We'll see how much fun money I have left over after my trip to Minneapolis this spring.
There you go.
Hey, well, y'all have a good one. God bless y'all.
Thanks, Connor. You too, man. So Kentucky was getting set to run Auburn. It was, I think, a 16-point game. Auburn cut it to 8 at one point, and they're just throwing haymakers at each other right now. I love watching Pearl and Cal go at each other. They hate each other so much.
Kentucky currently leads by 11 with 14:34 to play.
Who do we want to win this?
What are the SEC records?
I think they both have one loss.
We only play Auburn once.
Still love Bruce.
Play Kentucky twice.
Still love him. You still love Bruce? I still love Bruce.
It's wearing off, but yeah.
I don't want him back anymore, but I still love him. Always will.
Yeah. I'm rooting for the guy as long as it doesn't impact Tennessee in a negative way, or obviously if they're playing Tennessee. But yeah, I'm not anti-Bruce.
No. All right, I was just going to finish here, but
Is this the bookend of the – is this how we wrap it up?
Look, if we don't bring him on, he might come to my house and – murder me later.
Better
tonight.
Your house. Well, than my
does
house.
He want to talk or does he just want to scream at us? Because I can listen. I can do that.
That question, he's going to come to my house and maybe murder me tonight.
I would love to hear from Bear about today's basketball game and anything else he would like to talk
yes,
about.
Yes, I too want to hear more from Bear.
Hello, Bear.
Hello, Houston. Hello, Russell.
Reminder that I was not the one that flushed you initially.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Bear.
I'm trying really hard to maintain my composure. Speaking of maintaining their composure, I would have detonated and punched that ref in the mouth if I'd been Alabama's coach on that call at the end of the game.
Yeah, I'm trying to flip the script. Like, if that was me,
yeah, if that had been Jordan Bone,
that feels like I don't know if it was. I'm just saying, if I'm Alabama, I'm like, that felt like super home cooking, keep the SEC team in the top five.
Avery Johnson was very diplomatic about it after the game. He's like, we coach our players, you know, don't twist your foot, you know, pivot hard, come to a jump stop, whatever.
Oh, the anti-penny. Did you see Beilein today on the absolute blatant intentional foul lose his mind?
Beilein kind of pissed his pants there the end of that
game. Like, literally, like Boeheim did?
You can't joke about that.
Sorry.
He had
I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm just saying he actually did pee his pants.
He did.
I was just asking if Russell was making a joke or if it really happened.
In no particular order, Houston, you, Russell Smith, Rick Butler, and Chad Woodrow can all go to hell for wanting Holly gone. Extend Holly. Extend her. Give her another 2 years. Fairweather fans.
Why?
Because!
Prophetic point by you.
This is just, you know, this is the Lady Vol Bashers is just, they're having such a good giggle. It's so funny to them to watch.
It's a game. This is people's lives.
You guys want to give her $1 million? You want to give her $1 million buyout? Let her work out her contract. She wants $1 million, she can work for it. Make her get in that damn gym and work.
Yeah, but then you risk, you know, slipping further.
I have to take everything you say with a grain of salt because you're an LDL.
All right, let's go ahead and hit the button on Bear. Get wet.
You kind of had a point. I don't like it. I get where it's coming from.
I mean,
I try to be fair.
I mean, you got to see what he's doing there, man.
It's a game.
And I see what he's doing, and I don't find it funny.
I don't either. I listened to him laugh at that joke that Philly made on. Was that Friday? Huh.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
All right. So
I was embarrassed.
Are we good here?
I think we're good. Nice job, everyone.
Yeah. Thank you, Rick Butler.
Of course.
For all your hard work.
Very well done, Rick Butler.
Thank you, Rick Barnes, for coming to Knoxville.
Coming to Knoxville.
And resurrecting our basketball program from the ashes. Thank you, Dave Hart, for hiring crazy Donnie Tindall. And then Mr. Magooing your way into a Hall of Fame basketball coach.
Thank you, Texas.
Thank you, Texas.
For running off.
Thank you,
Barnes.
Steve Patterson.
As
you sweep the streets in Times Square or clean up the bathroom in a Greyhound bus, whatever you're doing now after being fired for firing Rick Barnes at Texas, wherever you are, Steve Patterson, we appreciate you.
You have no idea how much we appreciate you.
Yeah, have a drink on Steve Patterson wherever you are this evening. Most of all, thanks to Tennessee basketball fans, the best, filling up Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena, blowing the roof off that place when T. Martin came out today. It was a beautiful day. Houston, we needed this, man. Sometimes you need to be pushed to your limit.
I needed to do a voluntary reaction didn't follow a loss. This felt good. I mean, it was still kind of scary. It took a while for, you know, everything to settle down.
I consider the Shiano Sunday marathon broadcast.
That was kind of a victory.
I consider that a win.
Well, it did and it didn't. Because remember, for the first like 4 or 5 hours of that thing, we
brutal.
Just thought it was done. Like, we thought that was our coach.
But just to feel the momentum shift in real time over
that,
the course of
that
an hour.
That was nice.
And then I'll never.
Just got a text from a connected guy on the inside. Then
never
the deal
forget.
Is off.
That's a direct quote.
That's a direct quote.
Quote. I just
quote.
Love the way you,
it's a direct quote.
You dropped that.
No big deal.
And
he did some sirens with it.
I didn't realize it at the time when you said that, how official it was, because it was just like,
Are you sure?
I don't know. Like,
Chris doesn't have sources.
Well, no, it wasn't that.
What you would say. That's what everybody else would say.
It was just so surreal that entire afternoon.
That was it's like an 8-hour 180, but it was nice. It was fun. Didn't start fun.
No.
Kind of like this.
Let's not
the second half.
Let's not do that again, though. Anytime soon.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, and by anytime soon, I mean ever.
Yeah. Vols survive. Take down Bama, 71-68. What did I say? 15-0? 15-1, excuse me? 16-1. Mm-hmm. Nailed it. 5-0 in conference. Tennessee Volunteers.
12 in a row. Let's make it 13 Wednesday at Vandy. Houston, always a pleasure, man. It is pouring rain out there.
I just started to hear it.
Y'all be careful.
Be safe.
Out there driving around. We'll be back Monday morning, a full slate. Catch Houston 7 to 10 a.m. on 3 and Out. I'll be with you from 3 until 6 in the afternoon. We'll do another voluntary reaction after the Vandy game Wednesday night as soon as it's over. It's been fun, y'all. Be good. Be safe tonight. Have a great weekend.
The brand new Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville were completely remodeled by Triphase Construction, your trusted source for commercial construction in Knoxville. Triphase Construction specializes in tenant buildouts and remodels for new and existing businesses. Triphase Construction also builds commercial projects from the ground up.